Good morning. Good to see everybody here today. You know, there's a band of brothers working out today. I just got a text from one of them. This is what he sent me. He said, "Worship is designed to remind you that the center of all things is a glorious and gracious King." And wait for this. "And this King is not you." That's coming from a brother who's preaching right now in Atwater. There's another brother that's preaching over at College Plaza. There's a couple brothers preaching on State Street. And we love it. Amen. It is a good thing. Amen. It is a good thing to have a band of brothers that are committed to seeing the gospel preached, the word of God upheld throughout this community. This is a great place to be, folks. This is, and I'm not talking just about this church, I'm talking about this community. So greetings in the name of the Lord. If you don't know me, my name is Paul Dykeshorn, and I'm one of the pastors here. I happen to work a lot with Men's Challenge. At Men's Challenge, we help men with their employment issues, in short. We try to take men from whatever situation they are and get them to the point where they're working, they're back engaged with their families, and they're giving back to the community. And we basically do that three ways. First of all, we have classes to teach them how to find a job. A man once said to me, if you give a man a fish, he'll live for a day. If you teach him how to fish, he'll live his entire life. So that's the idea behind that. Give the guys the tools they need to learn how to find a job themselves. Because, you know, a lot of times they don't teach that. Not even in schools, I'm surprised. They don't even teach like a simple thing like resume writing. That's something when I taught over at Stark State, I didn't care if I was teaching basic AutoCAD. You had to learn how to do a resume. But anyway, another thing Men's Challenge does is hook men up with mentors. And I really believe it's important for men to hook up with a father figure. A lot of guys just don't have men in their lives. They don't know how to be men. You know, we tell them, "Hey, look, I'm going to talk to you like a man. Pull up your pants." Although, you know, as I get older, I'm kind of glad sagging is in style. Anyway, third thing we do is we train guys how to do things like operate a forklift, operate a chainsaw, how to do shipping and receiving. In fact, we actually have a program where we put guys to work for about 4 weeks. And we just assess them as they go along, and see where they're missing it, so to speak. Teach them how to take a 15-minute break and not a, you know, longer, or how to take a half-hour lunch, how to keep productive, you know, how when the work slows down to pick up a broom, clean up your area, stuff like that. And it was really encouraging. They had an article in Saturday's paper about a homeless guy who's no longer homeless, and he's one of the Men's Challenge guys. And we helped him get back on his feet, and he's working today, and he loves the Lord. He's worshiping over in another church in Alliance today, but I praise God for him and guys like him that we're getting some success with. In dealing with these men, I've found that 90% of the problems a lot of us in general face are between the ears. It's wrong thinking. And it's wrong thinking a lot of times about man, and it's wrong thinking for sure about God. And I hope today to deal with a little bit of that within us as a church, to address some of the wrong thinking we have about God. You know, I almost don't need to preach for what was said here today prophetically, but I'm gonna kind of build on that. And if you give me your ears, hopefully we can... We can go through this together, and we can all be encouraged and strengthened in God's Word to view God in a better sense, and also to view our fellow man in a better sense. So if you have a Bible, turn with me, if you will, to Psalm chapter 8. I always say this, if you don't... Oh, we're already there. If you don't hear anything else I say today, if you don't hear anything else I say... Keep this in mind. If you're going through a troubled time, you need to read the book of Psalms. Okay, it's a long book. Psalm 119 is incredibly long. But it's written in eight verse segments, and you could just kind of chop through it eight verses at a time. But you know, Psalms is so cool because it understands the human condition, yet throws a God perspective on there. And it's so neat when you read, like, particularly the Psalms of David, where he says stuff like in Psalms 3, verse 1, "O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising up against me." Do you ever feel that way when you go to work? Well, David felt that way, and you can appreciate that. Read that psalm. Psalm 5, verse 1, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groanings." Anybody groaning this morning? You need to read Psalm 5. Psalm 6 says, "Turn, O Lord, deliver my life. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love." Is your life on the line? You need to read Psalm 6. Or how about Psalm 22? I love this psalm because the Lord Jesus Christ quoted this on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" You ever feel that way? It's an honest thing. Doesn't have to be. You don't have to be Christian and say, "Oh, no, I never felt that way." Come on. David felt that way. The Lord Jesus Christ said that from the cross. He can relate. He can relate. So, as we read the book of Psalms, I want us to have that kind of perspective, that these words, even though they're written thousands of years ago, they're written for our benefit today, and we can draw truth from that. And I've kind of done something interesting, and I hope the guys up in the sound booth can help me with this. Some of these slides are going to be hard to see with the lighting in here. So guys, if you need to make it totally dark up front, they've seen me before. They know what I look like. All right, so we'll deal with that. And I've already read my notes, so I know what they say. But anyway. Okay. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read through the book of Psalms. Read through Psalm 8. Not the book of Psalms, but just Psalm 8. We'll be here in a little while. Although, you know, starting out, I had 45 minutes. And I've squandered 10 of those already. We're going to just read through it, and then I'll go through verse by verse. All right? So, here we go. Psalms. I got to turn there myself, folks. Okay, here we go. Psalm chapter 8. And if you're listening to the music, Keith Green wrote a song based on this psalm. And it says in Psalm 8, "To the choir master, according to," help me out here, "Gittith." And they think that means, that's a reference to Gath, and they're not sure what it means, but they kind of think it might have to do with "play this on the guitar," okay, or some kind of stringed instrument. So that's how I would view that. It's some kind of musical thing. A psalm of David. "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and infants, you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the fields, the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, and whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." Let's pray. Father, as we enter into this message, Lord, I just pray your Holy Spirit would be pricking our hearts collectively, Lord God, just to know you in a deeper sense, to understand what you require of us on this planet while we're here. Lord God, glorify yourself through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's look at this first verse. This first verse. It starts with God. And it's kind of interesting because, you know, we got the English on top and the Spanish on the bottom. And actually, I kind of like the Spanish better here because in the English, we use the Hebrew word Yahweh, or however it's pronounced. We're not quite sure how exactly it's pronounced. We use it all caps, Lord, so that in Psalm 8, verse 1, it sounds redundant. O Lord, our Lord. But in the Spanish, which I'm going to have difficulty pronouncing, but it says, "O Jehovah, Señor, and you figure out the next word. But anyway, the idea is it's using God's personal name. Because sometimes Lord, you know, anybody could be a Lord or a boss, but there's a certain person in this universe who his name was almost, you know, for years, for centuries in Jewish tradition, they wouldn't even pronounce his name because it was so holy. Thank goodness we're past that. But as a result of that, we use, you know, the all caps word Lord. But what I want to get across is David is using God's personal name. He's not saying, hey, way up there, Señor. He's saying Yahweh, Lord, Yahweh, my God. How majestic is your name in all the earth? What's in a name? What's in a name? You know, Scripture says a good name is really worth a lot. A good name is worth a lot. I share this sometimes at Men's Challenge. I got an older brother, and he's a great worker, and he worked for Sears and Roebuck while he was in high school, and then he went off to the military. And I got a next oldest brother, and he went to work for Sears and Roebuck while he was in high school, and then he went off in the military. And then I walked in there one day, and I got a job at Sears and Roebuck, and I worked there all the way through college, and then I left to come out here. And then my youngest brother walks into Sears and Roebuck one day, and he says, my name is Dykeshorn, and they said, you're hired. Because there's something about that name. They had a good track record. You know, three out of four ain't bad, right? So this fourth one should work out pretty good, and you know something? He did. But God's name is incredible because he is an incredible God, and I hope at the end of the today we can have a better view of God. You know, the backdrop of this is the Milky Way galaxy. And, you know, part of the problem here is in Ohio, we got something called cloud cover. All right? We don't often get to see the stars at night. And also, sometimes it's cold. You don't want to lay out there and watch the stars. But this is probably taken somewhere in the desert or whatever. I know some of you guys that were involved in the Boy Scouts, Josiah, remember Seven Ranges, Luke? Seven Ranges, when it was dark, and you could see the skies, and you could actually see the Milky Way galaxy, and that is the Milky Way galaxy going across the sky. And I wondered if David, when he was a young man, as he was watching sheep at night, if he looked up in the heavens, and maybe he even wrote this psalm at that time, you have set your glory above the heavens. Look at that. Isn't that incredible? It says in verse 2, it says, out of the mouth of babes and infants you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. What does that mean? What is that even talking about? Now, I just got this kid off the internet. All right? This isn't anybody's child in particular, and I picked him because he's crying. He's making noise. Out of the mouth of babes and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. You know, Jesus Christ quoted this verse on his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. When they were yelling, you know, we didn't do this Palm Sunday. You know, we forgot all about the palms. We used our palms. But anyway, they were waving those palm branches, and they were singing out, Hosanna, Hosanna. You know what Hosanna means? It's Hebrew for save us. Save us. Jesus comes into Jerusalem and they're saying, save us. And it's actually a quote from Psalm 118, I believe. But they're yelling, save us. And the chief priests and the scribes took offense at all these kids yelling, Hosanna. And Jesus quotes this psalm to them. And he says, out of the mouth of babes and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. What was he saying to them? Whose side are you on? Let's see the next one here. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place. I chose this slide because it has clouds, so everybody from Ohio can feel comfortable. All right? But think about this, and work with me on this, because this is going to take me a little bit of time to build this up. All right, see all those points of light? You see the moon, you see the stars. To us, we just see points of light. Let's show the next slide. All right, I picked a star that I know, the North Star from Boy Scouts. It's the only star I remember, except our sun, of course. But anyway, I know the Big Dipper, and I know how to find the North Star because you take the Big Dipper and you follow the edge and you go straight up, and it's on the tail of the Little Dipper, and that is the North Star. It's Polaris. It's just a point of light in the sky. But if we get close to it, let's see the next slide. If we get close to it, we find out that Polaris is this big ball, if you will, compared to our sun. Look how small our sun is compared to Polaris. And you know the interesting thing, too? I'm an engineer, you know, a scientist by heart. You know how this is. You indulge me a little bit here, okay? What we don't see about Polaris is it's actually a three-star system. There's that big star, and then there's two other stars that kind of go around it. Pretty interesting. But anyway, look at the difference in size. Now let's show the next slide. Wow, that really worked. All right, now this is the sun and there's the earth. I forgot to bring the basketball from upstairs, but if I had a basketball in my hand and that was the sun, the earth would be a 2-millimeter speck. And we're a speck on a speck. We're a speck on a speck. Let's put up the next slide. This is pretty cool too. Okay, I showed the Milky Way galaxy before, and there's this hazy little line there. And certain times of the year you can see it, probably in the desert. But anyway, Andromeda galaxy, okay, is that little fuzzy speck. But if we look at it up close, and if you get out in outer space and use the Hubble telescope, let's see the next slide here. That's what it looks like. It's a galaxy. We just see a fuzzy line. But if we get close, we see a galaxy with nearly 200 billion stars floating 2.52 million light years away from our home galaxy. And interestingly enough, it's coming our way. And it'll be here in about 4 billion years. All right. Why am I doing this? To our eyes, we look up, we see specks of light, dots of light. And fuzzy lines of light. But up close, they're incredible. They're grand and glorious. And you know, sometimes I think our perspective of God is like a speck of light compared to his awesome glory and power. You know, he created all of this, and he put us on a planet where, with our naked eye, we couldn't even experience the wonders that he's created. And only to this generation that we're a part of now that we can even appreciate some of these things that are out there, like the Andromeda Galaxy and the Crab Nebula and some of those other things that are pretty cool and exciting up in space. We couldn't even, you know, David couldn't even appreciate some of the beauty of some of these nebula with their colors and all that kind of stuff. You get one of these books from NASA, and it's just amazing what God has created. And it says that the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. Let's show that next slide. The heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. When this was penned several thousand years ago, they didn't even appreciate what we can appreciate now. Do we understand God's greatness? And are we gaining an understanding of who he really is? He is awesome. He is powerful. You know, sometimes our approach to God is wrong. We approach God as like a genie in the bottle that bows to our wishes, but we exist at his pleasure. But he still wants us to ask. He wants us to come to him as children. He wants us to go to him as his father. He wants us to stretch out in faith asking for healings, asking for victory over areas of sin, asking for victories over addictions, asking for success in spiritual endeavors. He's just waiting, folks. He's waiting to hear from us. All that power, all that power. He's an incredible God. And yet, man, think about this. He created this vast, incredible universe, and then he put the solar system somewhere in the Milky Way galaxy in a place where it wasn't too radioactive and everything. It was a safe place. He placed the sun a certain distance from the earth so that it would just be the right temperature for the earth. He spun the earth around so it revolves around 24 hours so that it just keeps an even temperature. He spun the earth around the sun so that we could have seasons. He tilted the earth just so. He put a moon around the earth so that we have tides and we can keep track of the months. And he did that for us. Why is he so interested in us? And that's what David says in this next psalm, or next verse. He says, "What is man that you're mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him?" In this vast universe. And there's man. There's man. Isn't there something else more interesting going on in the galaxy? And yet, he is interested in man. In fact, man is the pinnacle of his creation. What other creature did God breathe his spirit into? What other creature does he call son? He gives them the right to become his sons and daughters. Let's look at the next slide. "Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, and crowned him with glory and honor." People, human beings, have been crowned by God with glory and honor. I like this slide. It's kind of neat. I don't know how well it looks good from this perspective. I don't know. Can you see this at all, Bev? Yeah? Okay. It shows a baby in the womb sucking his thumb. Now, I got this off the internet. I don't know if it's digitally enhanced or not, but I could have shown my own grandson's picture. They had a face-on picture of my grandson Jackson, but it was kind of creepy. There he is looking at you. But this is kind of neat because here's a baby in the womb. It isn't even born yet. It's already sucking its thumb. My mom said when I was born, the first thing I did was took my right thumb and stuck it in my mouth. Yeah, that's probably what I was doing too. That could have been my picture. Could have been. But that is a human being that God has crowned with glory and honor. Am I pro-life? Can you tell? All right. I am pro-life, but also I'm pro-life from the standpoint of I don't believe anybody should take their own life. I don't care how bad things get. If things get really, really bad, you need to get in the book of Psalms. Because God has created you and bestowed you with glory and honor. And that is not something to be taken lightly. That is not something to be taken lightly. Man is not an accident. He's a created being. You know, that's one of the wrong thinkings we have to fight against at Men's Challenge. Because a lot of guys, they think that they're just a cosmic accident. And a matter of fact, a lot of them just hold to fate. Well, this happened just because of fate. I wound up in jail because of fate. And that a lot of people don't get the connection that, no, you made a choice, you acted on that choice, and now you have these consequences. So next time you need to choose wisely. I stole that from a movie. All right. You know, God breathed his spirit into us and made us immortal beings, basically. We will live forever. Not here on this planet necessarily, because you know God's going to redo this planet. But we're going to spend eternity in one of two places, heaven or hell. And you know, the day will come when Jesus will crack the sky, the trump will sound, the dead in Christ will rise first. You'll see all these graves and these guys popping out. And then you'll follow. And there are going to be some guys that will be standing there saying, uh-oh. And they'll realize, it's too late. I blew it. How many guys face eternity every day? I know of a pastor from Colorado Springs. He had a large church, and his staff, he would take the obituary of today's paper and put it on everybody, a copy on everybody's desk. And it begs the question, how many of these guys went to a Christless eternity? Let's put up the next slide. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. Look at that, man. Isn't that great? We even walked on the moon. We even walked on the moon. That's the kind of dominion God has created in us. The ability to conquer, to build cities. That's what human beings do. We're like God. We're created in his image. We're creative. Maybe you're not creative this way. Maybe you're creative artistically. Maybe you're creative writing by writing poems or creating musical sounds or some other way. Maybe you're an artist and you can paint really, really well. We're all different, but that said, we're all like God in that God has created that creative element in all of us. We're not the same as animals. I have a cat. I have a dog. I love my animals. I have a cat, and I'm not even a cat person. But my cat is pretty cool. She's really, really cute. My dog is pretty cool, too. But you don't look at this planet and find a dog city somewhere, you know, where you got dog cars running around and dog apartments and dog condominiums and dog golf courses and everything. You don't have that on this planet, huh? Because they're not like people. I love my dog, but he's not people. As a matter of fact, my dog likes to be around me. He doesn't care if I smell. You ever hear that joke? Find out who loves you, your wife or your dog, lock them both in the basement all day and see who's happy to see you when you come home. The dog. How many dogs have flown to the moon? Not unless we put them there. We're different. We're different. Man has dominion over the earth. And somehow God cares about man. Let's see the next slide. Psalm 8, verse 7, all sheep and oxen and also the beasts of the field. You know, it's just amazing to me. Like, we breed animals to be more productive. Certain types, we've bred cows so that certain cows are really good for meat. Certain cows are really good for milk. We've got chickens. Some are grown really good for meat. Some create eggs really good. You know, I don't know if they breed pigs or not, but I love bacon. But, you know, it's almost like the animals serve man throughout the generations. All kind of animals serve man. Let's put up the next slide. Look at this. You know what that is? That's a killer whale. That's what that animal is. It's a killer whale. And that lady, does she know what she's doing? All that whale needs to do is flip its nose up and open its mouth, right? The birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea, we have dominion over. Such that we take a killer whale and have fun with them at SeaWorld. Now, granted, they're not going to do this anymore. You know, it's not socially acceptable to ride on orca's nose anymore. But it just shows you what man is capable of doing. So what about our fellow man? What about our fellow man? I remember years ago, Pastor Lewis from New Zion Baptist had a T-shirt and showed Cain and Abel on there. And it said, you know, the original Cain killed Abel with a rock. And now brothers are killing brothers with another rock called crack cocaine. And, you know, it begs the question, you know, just at least from a drug dealer standpoint, what are you doing? Do you care about your fellow man? You know, today it isn't so much crack, it's heroin. I heard somewhere that one person overdoses from heroin in Stark County every week and dies. Now, maybe that statistic might be a little bit old, but sometimes you'll see a picture of a young person in a newspaper, and you wonder, I wonder if this was somebody that happened to. We had one guy from Men's Challenge. He had a job. He was doing well. Just slipped up one night. They found him in his truck dead. And we had another guy at Men's Challenge who got caught selling. And he's turned his self around, and he's doing well. And you know, I'll be honest with you, probably 10 years ago, I would have had the perspective, somebody out there selling drugs, we just need to shoot them. But you know, God's hand is huge, and it's not short, and it's able to reach into the very heart of man. And if the man is willing, God can change him from the inside out. I went, about a month ago or so, I went to a baptism service before our service was held. It was over at the Comfort Inn. And this one guy was being water baptized, and he was the guy that got caught with all these mini meth labs in his apartment. He was a big-time drug dealer, drug manufacturer. And now he's turned his heart over to the Lord, and he's working. He's doing well, and that's the power of God. That is the power of God to work in our lives. So I want to ask you, what is the great commandment? What is the great commandment? When Jesus was asked, what's the great commandment? What did they tell him? Or what did he say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That's number one. And we've got to have a bigger view of God than we do now, people. You know, we got to get closer to those stars, if you will. You know what I'm saying? We got to get a little bit closer. We sing of his glory. But as we leave this room, are we understanding that glory and putting it into practice? In a few minutes here, I'm going to ask anybody who wants to be prayed for healing to come on down. Because like what Bill was saying earlier, let's just go there. Chuck Wimber, when he was alive, he was a pastor of the Vineyard churches. When he was alive, he used to say, you know, we used to never pray for people to be healed. And people didn't get healed. And now we pray for healing all the time, and a lot of people do get healed. So let's see what God will do today here in our midst. And in terms of our fellow man, let's not write people off. Because the second part of the great commandment, the Lord said, there's a second like unto it, and this is how it goes. Love your neighbor as yourself. Everybody take a moment. Look to your right. Oh, that's my left. Look to your right. Oh, you're looking to the right. Okay. Look to your right. Then look to your left. That's your neighbor. Reach out to your fellow man. Speak out to your fellow man. You know, a local pastor one time asked me, hey, what do you think about, street corner preaching? And I said, don't preach on a street corner. Come to Men's Challenge. We'll let you do a devotional. And he's been doing it ever since. Brian Nottingham, I lost him. He was here somewhere. Anyway, somebody's going, he's back there somewhere. But anyway, Brian Nottingham, he comes once a month. And he does a wonderful job sharing a testimony or sharing a devotional. It's a great opportunity to reach out to your fellow man. Some of you guys, maybe you want to be a mentor. Some of our guys are just young men that kind of lost their way. They're not necessarily, you know, prison people or drug addicts or, you know, whatever. Some of these guys just, nobody ever explained to them, hey, you know, when you finish high school, you got to get a job. Oh, really? Wow. How does that work? Nobody, you know, they don't have a dad in their life or their dad didn't care. There's a lot of opportunity out there. I really love, you know, we got a wonderful pastor here. And if you can emulate him, he is so good about sharing with lost people. Some kids playing basketball. Hey, do you know the Lord? You want to receive Jesus Christ? Okay, let's kneel right down here on the foul line. It's just amazing. You know, he comes to Men's Challenge, shares a devotional, and three or four guys raise their hand. Hey, I want that. You know, emulate him. You know, like the Apostle Paul said, you know, follow me as I follow Christ. You got a great example there in Kirk Martin. But it's got to start with a heart to care for the person. If you'd rather they go to hell, probably you got to work with that in your own heart first. Deal with that, and then you can go talk to him about Jesus Christ, okay? All right. So reach out to your fellow man. Speak out. Amen? Amen. Why don't you stand with me, if you will? I'm going to pray God's blessing on us, and you can be dismissed. But when I say amen, I'd like to see some people who'd like prayer for healing to come forward. We'll have somebody come up and play some background guitar music. And also, some of you young men that said you wanted to be praying for people in particular, I'd like you to come forward as well to be